Is finding the right talent a challenge for you? In my own work, this has become a topic I hear about often. Regardless of the size of the company or industry, there is a fear or a realized reality that the people with the skills and experience needed for a particular position, nearly impossible to find. But is that belief really true? In this episode, I'm joined by Leanne Rod of Flex Professionals to discuss creative solutions to the talent challenge. Whether you are an individual who needs a part-time work schedule or a hiring manager struggling to find the right fit new hire, this episode is going to get you thinking. So let me tell you about Leanne. Leanne Rod is the Director of Talent for Flex Professionals. And Flex Professionals is a niche staffing agency matching professionals seeking flexibility with growing organizations in need of top talent. Leanne leads recruiting and programming for Flex Professionals in the Boston metro area. She has more than 20 years experience in learning and development, coaching, sales, marketing, and entrepreneurship. Throughout her career, she has advocated for flexible work options to help professionals stay engaged and purposeful in their careers. Leanne has a master's in training and development from Lesley University, and as a board-certified professional and career coach, she helps job seekers develop the skill sets they need to convey their value and pursue meaningful roles. In this episode, Leanne and I discuss how the workforce has changed and what it's going to look like in the next 10 years. We talk about the hidden workforce and the populations and companies that benefit from the flexibility space. She's going to offer creative solutions to meet unique talent requirements. And we also talk about how part-time employees can be a benefit to companies that are growing or transforming. If you are new to the Women Taking the Lead podcast, hello and welcome. I'm Jody Flynn. I'm the CEO and founder of Women Taking the Lead, a leadership development company that helps organizations achieve their gender parity goals at all levels of leadership and in all divisions of an organization. We help to realize these results through consulting, coaching, leadership development programs, and keynotes. My goal is for this podcast to be a valuable resource for you and others in your organization of all genders to grow in your leadership. And if we are not already connected on LinkedIn, please send me an invitation to connect. You can find me directly at linkedin.com/IN/JodyFlynn, or you can search on the platform for Jody Flynn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so I should be at or near the top of your search results. And be sure to add a note to the invitation letting me know that you're a listener of the podcast. I would love to connect with you and get to know you better. Okay, let's bring Leanne in. Welcome to the Women Taking the Lead podcast, Leanne.
Thank you, Jody. I'm so happy to be here today.
I'm thrilled and I'm really excited for this conversation. I'm so curious about this area. So that's just a little like everyone else kind of knows what we've talked about. But before we really dive into the meat of our conversation, everyone knows what you're up to professionally, you know, and that's amazing. You are an expert to be talking about the flexibility space. But tell us a little bit more about you and what you have going on outside of work.
Is there an outside of work, Jody?
I really hope there is, Leanne. I really, really hope there is.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. No, thank you so much. A lot of what I do outside of work tends to be similar to what I do in work. I work with a couple of nonprofit organizations, for example, helping them with their HR strategy and some strategic thinking about how to position. But I also have a holistic life. I am mom to two adult kids who still keep me busy. It's really surprising to me. I thought empty nest would be a little bit more boring, but I'm still busy with them, and I'm really glad to spend time and travel with them and help them figure things out as they go through college and early work. I'm also mom to a fur baby who also keeps me outside, which I appreciate in the New England winters. And my husband and I live just outside of Boston. So we are, as I mentioned earlier, coming up on our favorite time of year when we get to go back outside regularly. I would say the other thing that I tend to do a lot, and I actually have parlayed this into a business in the past, but one of my biggest hobbies is organizing. And I had the messiest room as a kid. My parents couldn't believe that I turned to do this as, you know, something for money later in life. But I really found that I loved creating order out of chaos, and then started helping other people do that as well for a few years when I was on a semi-career break. And so I really, in my downtime, it's something that I like to do. I know it sounds strange, but I still like to do it.
No, it doesn't sound strange to me at all. You are a woman after my own heart, Lee. And when you said organization, I don't know if you saw it, like my face lit up. I was like, ooh, that sounds like fun. My partner thinks I'm crazy, but I do like things to be neat and orderly so I can see what I need to see. I can find what I need to find. Everything has a home. Every inch should be in its home if it's not being used. So yeah, we could go on and on about that. Awesome. So that's amazing. I love how even outside of work, you're finding that balance of contributing your talents and your expertise to nonprofits so that the work is spread throughout the community. And that I just love that. So we are here to chat about the flexibility space because this was the amazing thing when I started hearing about your company and the work you were doing. You've been doing, like, the company's been doing this work for 20 years. So this is not a like, oh, during COVID, we suddenly realized it's important to have flexibility in the workplace. But for those who might be just really have heard about it, but not too in depth, tell us a little bit more about the flexibility space and the industry as a whole.
Sure. So I feel like I should start with how our company was formed, just because it has been around for longer than the pandemic, as you mentioned. And Flex Professionals was founded by three female founders. All of them had been out of the paid workforce after having pretty high-powered corporate careers, advanced degrees, but were able to make a choice to scale back for caregiving. And then when they wanted to return to the workforce, just met barrier after barrier, you know, were met with recruiters and hiring managers who didn't believe that they were serious about coming back to work. And on the other hand, they had these incredible skills to contribute. Not only that, but they knew hundreds of women who were just like themselves and who had been sidelined by caregiving. And so they saw the connection between the sidelined group of talent and mostly small businesses that were looking to hire part-time back in 2009. And so started the company, and it has evolved from there. You know, we've really seen a lot of evolution in the flexibility space, both in our general workforce and within our company. But it's, you know, still that that meaningful balance and way to bring together what people are looking for in terms of flexibility to allow them to have whole lives and skills that really benefit small businesses, nonprofits, mid-size and large-size organizations. It's a great match.
Mm-hmm. And what really brought my attention to this as a topic for this podcast, because probably a year ago, I wouldn't have imagined it, but I'm seeing the headlines more and more. Companies are saying, we can't find the right talent. We can't find the right talent. We don't have the right people in place, the people with the expertise, knowledge, skills. My clients are talking about it. And then you hear about these inflexible workplaces, right? You have to work at least 9 to 5. You have to work certain hours. You have to be in the office, all of this stuff, making it really impossible for a variety of populations to be able to accept work at a company that is that inflexible. And what I love about what your company does is it allows workplaces to get creative, right? If you want talent and you're not attracting the right talent, here's what we can offer you. So tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. So as you said, the pandemic was definitely a catalyst for flexibility, but the caregiving crisis had been brewing long before 2020. You know, back in 2019, HBS came out with a study that estimated that within 2 years, so by 2021, half of the workforce was going to be in a caregiving mode, either for a child or the growing need for elder care at that time. The difference is that no one was talking about it. It really was something that you had felt you had to keep to yourself, you know, to kind of let the cat out of the bag of all the responsibilities that you had outside of work, men and women, right? Was seen as a little bit career limiting. So people were hedging. The roller coaster that we all were on during the, you know, prime years of the pandemic and now endemic, really just shown where the cracks were in that caregiving infrastructure and kind of broke it open, at least from a conversation standpoint, mostly for people who are working, right? The toothpaste is out of the tube. We've had this taste of flexibility. We now know what, you know, how to operationalize it somewhat. We know what those remote skills can be and how to get work done. So prove to me a little bit why we have to go back to work. For women in particular, so back at the beginning of 2020, in January of 2020, women had just tipped over the 50% mark in the professional workforce. I know it seems like a million years ago, because then the bottom fell out. We kind of went zooming back down to more than a 30-year low within about a, you know, less than a 2-year period due to all the layoffs and everything that were happening during the pandemic. It's come back up again, right? So the labor force participation for women is now higher than it was pre-pandemic. But it's changed just a little bit. You know, people are looking for things in a different way. It's just not the same workforce that we kind of left back in 2020. There was another study by Boston Consulting Group, BCG, that showed work-life balance and flexible work location were the top priority for 33% of their survey respondents. And this was pretty recent. And that almost 70% of people would rather look for a new job than return to the office. It's just huge. It's huge. Yeah. To your point, we hear a lot about return to office mandates. They're mostly from large companies. And I would say in metro areas, a lot of them are aspirational. We hear about the return to work. And then the reality is that it's not being enforced, you know, so in those places. And those are the ones that we hear about. But, you know, there's some other things happening in the workforce, if I can get just one layer past the pandemic. So, and this isn't new either, but we're coming into the reality of where we are with the workforce. And that is some pretty major demographic shifts that are happening, which is really pushing flexibility to the foreground as well. So 25% of our current workforce is at or approaching retirement age in the next 8-ish years. We have a declining birth rate. So within the next 10 years, we'll be about half of the workforce replacement rate that we were, you know, 10 years ago. So there used to be 5 workers for everybody leaving. We're headed to about 2.5. And we're also seeing a decline in workforce participation across a lot of different demographics. So there just aren't enough workers to replace people who are exiting the workforce. And, you know, add to that those value shifts that we talked about due to the pandemic and post-pandemic for women and men. And it really adds up to flexibility no longer being a perk, but rather a business imperative. Because in order for our economy as a whole to be fully staffed, every company, small, large, nonprofit organizations are going to have to be creative about how they hire and how they define roles. And flexibility will absolutely be one of the ways that all of them can compete for talent.
Yeah. And Leanne, clarify for me, with flex professionals, are you doing consulting work for companies to help them make that adjustment to go from a model of 9 to 5 in office to, hey, here's what it can look like? Or do companies kind of need to do that internal work, and then when they're ready for flexible workers, come to you to get help in finding those individuals?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And we don't formally consult, but here's what generally happens is that companies who we've worked with in the past, or maybe who we're starting to work with as new clients, will come to us with a situation that they're trying to solve. It's usually a position that they've either had trouble hiring for, or a job that's just grown too big for one person to do. Mm-hmm. And we will consult with them. So we are definitely experts in the flexibility space. We have a consultative approach with our clients for sure. And so what that means is that we can go in and we can apply what we've learned in the 15 years that we've been in business, and we can help them to scope a role, build a job description, be realistic about, you know, what they're looking for and how much work, say, can get done in 20 hours a week if it's a part-time job. We can also provide feedback for them on the pay rates that they're hoping to be able to offer in a position and whether that's competitive. And if it's a position that's in high demand, we can also give them some insights on how to better attract talent to apply for the job.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I really want to capture for everyone like what this looks like, kind of boots on the ground. So can you think of one company that you've worked for and tell their story and how you help them solve their talent problem?
Sure. It's hard to pick just one. There's so many places. So the situation that I see a lot, and this is probably more than one client, but it's just a situation that happens, I think, over and over. And that is a small business or a nonprofit will have a position that's open, and they'll come in with a job description. It's been cobbled together because small businesses operate they're pretty lean. People wear different hats. And so lots of times a job description will come in and will say, it's really two or three different jobs, right? In terms of the function and the focus. Mm-hmm. And so we'll work with them to define what their need is, what their budget is, what they're hoping to get done. And what we see happen time and time again is we'll start to build slates of candidates to work with, and they'll talk to them and start to realize the value of, say, hiring somebody 15 or 20 hours a week to do a specific job like marketing or human resources, or maybe, you know, business development, whatever their need is, and then also realize the value of singular focus. So when they can bring somebody in on a part-time basis who's specifically looking for flexibility and can really focus in on that one functional area within a company or a nonprofit, then they start to get results that are way higher than the hours that they think that they have hired for. I mean, it's not that people are working more hours. It's just that their focus allows them to be so much more productive when they can have that singular focus. So one of the things that we see, and we kind of joke about it within our team, is that we'll have a position that's open. We send a slate of candidates. Our client has a really hard time deciding who to hire. So they usually hire more than one person, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because they really see the value of somebody coming in and making a contribution at that level.
Mental fitness is your capacity to respond to life's challenges with a positive rather than a negative mindset. What diminishes your mental fitness is internal saboteurs. Saboteurs are the voices in your head that generate negative emotions in the way you handle life's everyday challenges. They represent automated patterns in your mind for how to think, feel, and respond. They cause all of your stress, anxiety, self-doubt, frustration, restlessness, and unhappiness. There are 10 different saboteurs, but not everyone is impacted by the same ones. There's a combination of 2 to 4 saboteurs that are likely more familiar to you. Are you curious to know which saboteurs are impacting your performance, wellness, and relationships, and how they do so? To take the saboteur assessment, go to positiveintelligence.com/saboteurs. You can also find the link in the episode description right in your podcast app. It's hyperlinked, so you can click right on it. You can also reach out to me afterwards for an insight session if you'd like to dive deeper into your results. So again, to take the Saboteur assessment, go to positiveintelligence.com/saboteurs and find out exactly what you need to do to overcome your saboteurs. Sometimes when we're hiring for a full-time position, the person we're hiring is not an expert at all the things that we're going to ask them to do, but we're willing for them to be 70, 80% there and then learn on the job as they go. Whereas if you break the job up a bit, you can hire experts who will focus on the things that they are expert at. And so it doesn't take them as long to go through the onboarding process, to get their feet under them as they're starting the job, and to do the work and make a contribution.
Yeah, that's a great summary. I love how you've described it. I would say that the additional bonus is that when we don't lose productivity by having to switch tasks from one major subgroup to another, which especially happens in small businesses, you're working on a marketing document and all of a sudden a client support need comes in that is a priority and you really have to change and you lose time and you lose productivity. So when you have that focus in on a functional area, you can really get a lot of work done.
Yeah, I can remember experiences in my own time in the workplace where when I was in a very specific role, would have to go to reading a 20-page contract and focusing that while then shifting gears and leading like a meeting where the intention was to motivate and inspire people and then switch to reviewing forms or making phone calls or just doing the office administrative work and that context switching over and over and over again. One, you need more breaks in between all of those different tasks, because they're so different that your brain needs the time to switch its focus, but it's also draining. There were definitely, good portions of different jobs that I had where I was like, this is not my strength, but I'm going to do it because it's part of my job, or it was just work I didn't enjoy at all. And typically the two aligned. If it wasn't my strength, I probably didn't enjoy it that much either.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's okay with you, can I give you maybe one or two more examples of what the positive outcomes can be? So just drawing from a couple of clients that we've worked with, one comes to mind, and I used to do a little bit of account management myself, and I started working with this client directly almost 10 years ago. But they really had a full-time hiring model, like so many companies do. It's how we think about a job. We think about 40 hours a week. And so I was talking to the CEO of the company, and he'd been having trouble finding someone for this position. It was marketing, and had turnover in the position because really their budget was allowing them to get someone about 3 years out of school. They didn't have a lot of a budget to dedicate to that position at the time. They were still in a growth mode themselves as a small business. And so we were talking and he was just asking for some strategy, hadn't planned to hire us to find anybody to fit the job because it wasn't our model. But I started asking some questions. And one of the questions that I asked was, if you could find somebody for 20 to 25 hours a week, who could bring some strategic direction as well as execution into the role, would that be of interest to you? And it was kind of like a light bulb went off and he said, huh, I hadn't thought about that before. That would be of interest. Do you have people who can do that? And of course we do. So they ended up hiring someone who stayed there for years and really brought that strategic marketing focus into the role, as well as the ability to, say, do a social media post or write a white paper. And so they just didn't have the scope for 40 hours of that level of expertise. But for somebody who was looking for flexibility and part-time hours, that was a great fit. And it's win-win. The employee got flexibility that she was looking for. The company got to stick within their budget that they were hoping for and really grow as their needs changed. Another example that I would put out there is a client that we were currently working with, and it's a law firm. They were getting into a new area. Their focus is in technology, business technology, and specifically intellectual property. And it's a growing area, but they didn't have enough of the work to need a full-time attorney to handle it. They didn't have the budget to go out to someone working on their own and hire them on a consulting basis. Mm-hmm. And they knew it was going to be a growing area. So we've worked with them on a couple of different positions, really specific positions within that area to find part-time attorneys. You know, you don't think about part-time attorneys, but there are people who are absolutely looking for part-time hours, either because of caregiving or because of scaling back pre-retirement, still wanting to work, and have been able to help them get their team in place. So now as the needs grow, they can then add to those hours, they can hire additional people if they need to, and maybe go to a full-time placement. So it's really helping them scale out and grow a new area of their business.
I can think of a variety. I'm switching now to the individual level. Thank you for really capturing like why this is a benefit for companies and what are the different situations where companies would consider, you know, hiring part-time employees rather than looking for that, you know, purple unicorn to fit the role of the full-time employee or who may not have the budget. But for individuals, I can think of so many circumstances where a woman and, you know, for this podcast, women leaders who find themselves in situations where doing a full-time job is just not feasible for a short time or from now on, like whatever that looks like. Because I'm thinking of, you know, you talked earlier about like women who were caregivers, either of having their own children or taking care of elderly family members. I know some people who have to scale back on work because they're taking care of disabled or chronically ill family members, you know, the people who are getting ready to retire and are looking to scale back. Also, those people who are just like not into the, you know, they want the lifestyle of a part-time, you know, commitment to work, but they also still want to feel like they're a part of something and there's something stable and that they're contributing to a company. So have I missed any of the categories that you see in your work, Leanne, of individuals who come to to Flex Professionals looking for those part-time opportunities?
I think you've hit on a lot of the major categories of people that we see coming through our doors. You know, we do work with mostly women. It's still mostly women who shoulder the majority of caregiving responsibilities. And so we do work with a majority of women, but we work with a growing number of men as well, caregivers and people who are on that. I don't even like to say pre-retirement anymore because it kind of suggests that they're gliding out somehow, where, you know, a lot of people who are in their 60s and even into their 70s are so motivated to work both for an income and mm-hmm. also for the satisfaction that they get from making a contribution, you know, to a company or a nonprofit. The one area that we tend to do a lot of work in that maybe you did, I don't think you mentioned it, are people coming back to work after a caregiving break. Mm-hmm. And we don't look at the break as something that is broken about their career, you know, it, no matter what the length is. And people coming back from, say, a 10, 15, 20 year career break tend to view whether they're reality or perceived all of the barriers in front of them. And there are some real barriers, right? And it's part of our mission to really help people coming back after a caregiving break, not only get job search ready, but to know and appreciate the value that they're going to bring to their next employer and help them find ways to rebuild confidence, which has really been chipped away through the years they've been out of the paid workforce, mm-hmm. no matter how hard their unpaid jobs have been, but still really getting ready and ramped up and able to achieve the goal of whatever they're looking for in their next career step.
Yeah. And I was thinking of this earlier, Leanne, there's also probably a sensitivity to any indications that their employer is thinking they're not as committed because they might, you know, they're coming back from a caregiving break, but might still have caregiver responsibilities, right? And so there's this, you know, impression, I don't know if the stereotype is still there, that, oh, if you hire a mom who's got kids in school, then she's going to, you know, whenever they're sick or they have something going on, like she's going to want time off from work. And I can imagine that as women, we're so sensitive to how we're being perceived mm-hmm. that there is this added, it's a knock to confidence as well, that like, oh, are they going to take me seriously?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Those sometimes that voice in between our ears is the loudest one in the room, right? Because it's not always the case, but people do have their biases. You know, anyone over 50 years old now looking for a job, there's a really good chance that they're going to be interviewing with somebody who's younger than them. You know, we all come with our life experiences through which we see the world. And so there can be a worry that someone's going to see us that way, and even a reality that people can see us that way. But I will say that at Flex Professionals, we have all experienced some form of caregiving, either while working and balancing or while taking a full-on career break. And so one of the things that I'm proud of, and it really speaks to our mission, is that we do view people through the lens of what they can contribute in their next role, as opposed to how long it's been since they've had a job that paid them money. Mm-hmm. And all of the things that you build up in the meantime.
The transferable skills that you learned when you're not in a paid job, you're still, you know, I'm going to put this in air quotes, working and learning as you go. Like,
of course,
what moms gain in learning and wisdom, you know, being a mom, what they can bring back to the workplace is just outstanding.
It absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that happens really quickly for a lot of parents that do step off the corporate track for caregiving is that there's a void, you know, for these volunteer roles in whatever organization they're part of. People come in and they go out, and, you know, a lot of people while they're on a caregiving break have pretty significant volunteer contributions that they've made that, you know, if that nonprofit could have paid somebody to do, they might have. And so you're looking at that too. And those are skills that are developed. They're skills that were always there, but absolutely those transferable skills are huge.
Yes. And I would imagine that the companies that you're working with as well, they have kind of seen the light of like, yes, these can be incredibly valuable members to our workforce. And so what I imagine in my head is that they're less likely to be in the camp of companies of like, well, I don't know, we're going to take a risk, but we'll see. They're a little more welcoming and do a better job of making people belong than that.
Yeah. 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 And if you think about, you know, anytime you've had somebody's had a chance to take a sabbatical, let's say, I'm not calling caregiving a sabbatical by any means, but when you're back at work, you have this renewed energy, this renewed sense of focus and purpose in what you're doing. And we see that as well for people coming back after that caregiving break, their energy and their motivation, our clients call them hyper-focused because they're there to do the job that they're doing in, say, 20 to 25 hours a week, sometimes full time. And then they need to move on to some other things in their life. And so there's not as much drawing things out. They get the work done. They've got other obligations, which is a really great thing.
Right. There's a container to it. Like, I'm going to give my all for this time. And the company gets the value of that. Well, Leanne, whether it is an individual looking, you know, she might be in a position where they're thinking, okay, I need to consider working part-time, or it's a company that's thinking we need some creative talent solutions ASAP. Where can they find you? Where should they go to learn more about Flex Professionals?
So I would point them to our website for sure, flexprofessionalsllc.com. And also to any of our social media channels. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or X, excuse me. all of the channels. But we have a lot of information on our website, especially for people coming back to work and looking for a job. We've got a lot of resources. There's great client resources as well. But because we are focused on learning aspects when it comes to, kind of planning for your job search and coming back into the workforce after a career break, making a career transition, possibly scaling back and getting strategic around looking for flexibility, we have lots of great resources. And I would also point people to our events. One of our differentiators that, you know, we are in the staffing and recruiting space, which sometimes when you say to people, they kind of give you a little bit of a sideways look like, ooh, sounds transactional to me. but one of the things that we're really proud of that's been true since the beginning and since our founders started the company is that we are super high touch. We work with our clients consultatively and we're dedicated to sharing information with our job seekers. And so we have live webinars that we run, you know, 3 times a year in a series. We have special events, we have in-person opportunities, lots of resources and ways that we try to give people the information to empower them to move forward at their own pace and seek the jobs that they want to seek. Hopefully it will be through us, but not always. Sometimes, you know, we ready them to go work somewhere else, but we're very grassroots and high touch on our candidate side as well. So I would just encourage people to take a look at those events.
That's amazing, Leanne. I love that you provide all those resources for people to help them like just get a little more knowledge, understanding before they're making any big moves. And for those of you listening, don't worry. All of the links are going to be in the description of this episode. So you can find it right in your podcast app. If you're on the website, it'll be towards the bottom of the show notes page. And Leanne, thank you so much for taking the time to inspire and enlighten us. We are all better for having met you.
Thank you, Jody. It was a real pleasure to be here today.
Thank you so much for listening to the Women Taking the Lead podcast. I have 3 small favors to ask. If you are not yet subscribed to the podcast, hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on the upcoming episodes. Know anyone else who can benefit from this episode? Please share it with them. And if you are looking for leadership development opportunities for yourself, your team, or your organization, reach out to me. We can customize a program that meets your specific needs. You can reach me at Jody, J-O-D-I, @womentakingthelead.com. As always, I hope this was of value to you, and here's to your success.